Well, joining me right now here in the Skyline studio is my good friend Brian Bernadone. He is the founder of Aurelius Public Affairs. Prior to that, a longtime government affairs specialist for the Realtors Association. Brian, thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning. It's September, so that means it's Halloween Eve.
Okay. Here's our obligatory. Go for it.
Well, I mean, the giant claw was on yesterday. This is the great series of great movies you're going to find on Svengoolie on MeTV coming up. So this is you guys were talking about fall. I can't wait.
Thank you so much. Now we can move on to our regularly scheduled programming.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And love Rich, too. But I wanted to talk to you because of the speech last week by Mayor Lightfoot, the State of the City speech that she gave. And I came on GN Radio after the speech and offered up my thoughts. I'll be glad to share those, too. But I wanted to get your thoughts on this.
Well, you know, I think when you watch the speech, her tone was direct. It was sobering. And in parts, it was prosecutorial. She approached this messaging of how dire the fiscal situation of the city is in a tone that you can only say is foreboding. $838 million is a pretty big deficit in wake of the conversation about TIF and everything else. She made a very strong case that she inherited an absolute mess. She presented a very strong case that she was moving forward with a series of reforms. It was interesting to me that she didn't really call out anyone by name. I think she kind of adhered to
by inference.
Yeah, she adhered to the tradition. I think that Mayor Emanuel did as well by not calling out names. But there were several calls to action that I think she had in there about wanting to hear from the public. She outlined that a massive transfer tax increase, which I'm sure we can talk about. But she didn't mention some of the other taxes that I think are on the table. But in her own words, she said, everything's on the table. I'm not removing any kind of revenue sources from being part of the discussion. She also, I thought, made it very clear in her discussion of efficiencies that she was going after the status quo. I think that was a phrase that she was she adhered to, that the way the city has been run, there's a new sheriff in town, and I'm going to clean this up in order to get us out of the mess we're in.
That having been said, at $838 million, I think, in my view of the speech, was one that we know it's a mess, and it's nice to know now you can attach a figure to the mess, but we knew it was a mess, and that normally you look towards the political leaders to say, okay, here's how we're going to get out of it.
Big part of the speech that I thought was
lacking.
That was
the part that I missed those pages.
Yeah, that was a big part of the speech that I thought was lacking. I think, again, I used the word prosecutorial on purpose. I think she outlined the case of what's going on. But on the solution side, it not only were solutions...
Prosecutors normally recommend a sentence.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a sentence at the end of this thing.
Yeah, you know, well, that's what I mean.
There's a revenue enhancement aspect of this thing. But the solutions weren't spelled out. But to give her credit where credit's due, she's not going to lay those out until she announces her budget. I mean, that's when rubber hits the road, when the proposals are laid out and become very specific. That hasn't happened yet, but this is clearly a warning sign to the residents of the city of Chicago, the business community, and everyone else. And most importantly, I thought the message was clearly directed to Springfield. I need help, and I'm making a very, 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 very big ask.
But still, the lack of specificity on what she'd like to see, I mean, one, I think it reflected the fact that she hasn't had conversations with aldermen about what she wants to see. And two, she hasn't had conversations with Springfield about what she wants to see. I mean, remember back in May, when the end of the legislative session, she was down in Springfield in early May and talked about how she's got to hit the ground running because she knows there's time running out in this legislative session. And other than the casino, which was frankly going to happen anyway, and that's part of the Capitol bill, the Chicago casino, other than that, you know, when I asked some high-ranking Democrats in Springfield about, well, what was the city's ask? The ask was, well, make sure we don't get shorted on school funding. Make sure we're part of the Capitol bill.
Well, timing has changed. And again, I'm not part of the mayor's administration, but in defense of that, timing has changed. She has more information than she had when she first walked into office. And again, she spelled out, this is what the situation looks like. Let's call this the indictment. We're in the indictment phase of this budget.
Actually, we're the grand jury.
Yes, we're in the indictment.
We've been presented with the bill. Yeah,
this is the indictment. This is the indictment. But to go a step further, there are different audiences when you give a speech and different reactions. There's the reaction from members of the Illinois General Assembly, and a lot of them have already said, this is a heavy lift. This is probably not going to happen in veto session. This is probably not going to ultimately make a big difference in how she's going to fund fiscal year 2020. We're not going to be able to make that work. But the bigger thing is, how are you, if you're a bond trader, listening to this speech and not only hearing what the indictment looks like now, what the current fiscal situation, that $838 million bill that is sitting in front of you look like for the bond ratings, but she also made it really clear that she had another $600 million in pensions that she has to deal with in 2021 that are coming ahead. So I think in the midterm or the short, however you want to call it, the long term, 2021 can happen immediately. But how are the bond traders looking at Chicago's bond rating going, okay, well, Emmanuel kind of brought some of the bond ratings up, but now do we have to reevaluate that whole situation and take a look at how much it's going to cost for Chicago to go to market? And at the end of the day, it's not just the city budget, but the mayor did not mention what's happening at the public schools and what that budget looks like. And that's a much bigger chunk of the budget than just the city of Chicago's portion. When you talk about the tax stack that an individual voter's property owner is going to have to deal with when they're talking about paying the bill.
We're speaking with Brian Bernadone, founder of Aurelius Public Affairs. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. My in-studio guest is Brian Bernadone, founder of Aurelius Public Affairs. We're talking about Mayor Lightfoot's State of the City speech last week. And I guess, you know, Brian, I accept the fact that it's, you know, there are different audiences for the speech. But I wonder, I mean, it was a lot of, here's what I've done so far, which I expect kind of that. But it's, a politician leaves a void when they don't talk about what to do in the future. And I'm not sure I necessarily would have given this speech without having more substantive details in the transcript, before she delivered it, where the line was what was going to be the deficit. It's the deficit is X because they had to, that's the surprise. And I expected her to say, and the deficit is X because X is a big number. I mean, we knew it was going to be a big number.
I think one of the things that you're seeing with a number, and maybe this is more of a macro analysis of it, but you're seeing with a lot of the newer politicians that are coming online that they're finding it a challenge to move from campaign mode into governing. And what we're seeing, I think, in this circumstance is a overwhelming problem being presented, a person who ran semi as a populist reaching out to the public saying, we want your input on what's going on. I think one of the texters had indicated that $800 million is not a huge budget when you look at a huge deficit when you look at the size of the city, but in reality it depends on whose ox is getting gored on this thing. Mayor Lightfoot presented an extensive amount of social service programs that she wants to extend out. And she took some fines and fees off the table in this discussion as well. So she has some very fundamental give and take that she's got to figure out in a very short amount of time in front of a city council that is looking at her like every voter is looking right. at her going, okay, where are you going to find the money and where are the solutions? And while she doesn't have a huge amount of critics, the devil's in the details. You find that out during the budget process of where that's going to go. Rank and file is, you know, when you look at rank and file city employees, there's always going to be grumbling, but property taxes are something they pay as well. So they're going to be very loud and clear about it. I can speak with certainty that the realtors are going to oppose any opportunity to go down a transfer tax route. She, in her proposal, she indicated that she wanted to cut transfer taxes on properties that sold for less than $500,000. As of today, that would be 15,000 properties that are on the market on realtor.com. Listeners can check that out themselves. But the amount of properties that she's putting the burden on transfer taxes moving forward, that would be properties that are over 500,000, there's only 4,200 properties in the city of Chicago selling for that amount. And when you talk about properties over a million, that's only 942 properties. So I think the idea that we're going to try and balance the budget on transfer taxes is not only silly, but it's also unstable. As we're talking in economic circles about the city, you know, we're in a pre-recession, some would argue, and in the top of the market, the properties over 500,000 are a slow-moving market and prices are dropping. So I think the city's going to have to take a look at those numbers carefully and reevaluate them before they shepherd their whole budget future on that particular one, especially if you're a homeless advocate, especially if you're a person who's looking for an option like that moving forward.
Well, she emphasized in her speech, you know, we must act quickly. We must move now. Here again, without any, you know, other than very limited concepts, spent, you know, a bunch of time talking about the casino. And we all know that issue of the casino tax and you know, trying to generate a new tax structure, basically, for what the General Assembly approved. But it wouldn't even affect the budget that she's talking about. So, I mean, why bother? We know Springfield's going to have to take a look at it, but it's not relevant to the conversation.
There's some agenda setting that's taking place. And, you know, you have to give a new mayor an opportunity to at least express what those opinions look like. I think Rich Miller had a very good article about this over the weekend, basically indicating there's probably better ways to do it than just a straight-on announcement in a speech, you know, that you want to talk to leadership, you want to kind of work that thing through. But I think
that's my argument, maybe you don't talk specifics because you haven't talked specifics to anybody.
But it's an important signal to the voters and to property owners. The problem is how that signal is being read. And from the business community standpoint, I think there's going to be a lot of apprehension. You don't know what the next series of taxes are going to look like. You don't know what the predictability factor of recruiting and economic development looks like. One of the things that the mayor spoke about was she wanted to build a growth strategy,
right?
A welcoming strategy to Chicago. I would tell the administration pretty cleanly that a welcoming strategy, a growth strategy, does not include stripping away equity from homeowners that are selling their properties or adding a welcome to Chicago property tax for people coming in. And that goes for business as well. I mean, the concept of the transfer tax has changed a couple of times, even since the idea has moved forward. Many states are getting rid of them. Chicago is going to become the highest transfer tax in the country with some of the proposals that are sitting. And I would remind listeners that as we stand right now, there are three different transfer tax proposals sitting in front of the city council as we speak that the mayor's probably going to move aside for her own proposals that she wants to move forward. But this idea of the stack, the idea that we're going to Governor Pritzker's progressive income tax, along with all these other taxes, aren't going to have an impact on how people with money, people who are portable, look at the city, I would question significantly.
A lot to look ahead for as we enter the spring veto session, and we'll see what happens there. I'm not optimistic that they're going to do much.
There's a big challenge there. I think we'd be remiss when we talk about Mayor Lightfoot to not at least acknowledge and mention the passing of Mike Bauer. He's a significant person in Chicago politics and actually national politics when it came to LGBTQ and that community. A warm-hearted man in a very brutal sport, which is Chicago politics, who guided and shepherded Mayor Lightfoot through the election. His passing is missed, I'm sure, by her, but also by all of us that have been involved in politics in this town. My thoughts go out to his husband and partner, as well as to those who cared and adored him. His loss is significant within the community.
Ours as well. Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you.